Dear gracious Father, we want to thank you so much, Lord, for your presence to be here with us this morning, Lord. And believing, Father, that your presence and your parousia, God, your shout, which is the message, and turning to the voice of the resurrection, Lord, we know that you're in the midst of doing these things. And so, Father, we just commit, Lord, our seed, the seed that lays within us, your word for this day. Speaking of a bride, speaking of an elected one, speaking of children growing up into fully mature, ready for adoption. That's where we're at, Father, and that's what we want to be. And Lord, that's who you are. And it's you working in us both to will and to do. And so, Father, we just commit ourselves to you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and to your word. Amen. You may be seated. This morning will be number 178 in our series on the unveiling of God. And this will be a seed for every season, part two. And I'd like to entitle this, The Manifestation of the Seed Proves the Seed is for the Season. In other words, had Noah not entered the ark, built the ark, entered the ark, he wouldn't have been proven to be the seed for that season. And Moses never responded to the call of God from the pillar of fire. In that burning bush, he would not have been proven to be the seed for the season. Well, we have a seed for the season. That's Ephesians 1, verse 3 to 5. It speaks of the that we are predestinated to the adoption of children. We have a seed for the season that speaks of in Romans 8 that we are to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. You're being conformed. You're manifesting as sons. You're dying to self is evidence that you are seed for the season. And so there's a seed for a season. And there's a season within seasons. You know, we have, in the season of the parousia, we have the shout, and then we have the voice, and then we have the trump. We have 85 different seasonal indicators, signs and events taking place, in which 79 have already taken place. We're in the midst of, I believe, the 80th. We're getting close to that. And so we're just looking at then a season within a season. We have, like I said, a shout and then a voice and trump. And we have things that God is doing right now. And if you're part of that season, if you're a seed for that season, then you will respond to what God is doing. So last week we looked at the subject of a seed for every season. We had to cut the sermon short due to time. So we'll try to finish it this service. Actually, I thought we would, but we actually have about as many more. We have 20 pages today, and we'll probably have another 15 to 20 next week. Although next week, remember, is communion, so we won't have Wednesday service. We'll have Sunday morning, and then 4 o'clock Sunday evening will be the communion service. Now, in Brother Branham's sermon, God's only provide a place of worship, paragraph 225, he quotes 1 Corinthians, and then he says, by one Spirit, the Spirit of God. You remember 1 Corinthians 12, by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. All right, but he quotes, he says, by one Spirit, which is the Spirit of God, which is the life giver to the word, the seed, to vindicate that seed for that season. So we broke this down into three points. Number one, there is a seed for every season. So when you look at what he said about the Spirit of God, which is the life giver of the word, the seed, and then he says that that life-giving word will vindicate that seed for that season. All right, if the seed is not vindicated, Jesus said, by the fruits you'll know them. If the seed is not vindicated, then you won't know that that seed is really for that season. Now, there's a lot of churchgoers, a lot of people who are in the season of Malachi 4 but are not in the season of Ephesians 1. You understand? They're still hung up on a seasonal change, and they haven't made the change into Ephesians 1, 3-5, being predestinated unto the adoption of children. A lot of people are still hung up into the former rain, the teaching rain, but are not moving into the harvest rain, the latter rain. We're going to talk about that this morning. So we ask, what is this vindication of the seed of the word, or word seed, that will identify that the seed is indeed for the season? And we found Brother Branham saying it, it is my action and the vindication of God's word in my life that shows whether I'm a child of God or not. Then we come to point two. God sends forth His Spirit in order to quicken that seed. This is where we left off last week, and this is where we'll pick up this week. We showed by Scripture, it is the Holy Spirit that quickens the word in the believer. We showed about 4, 5, 6 scriptures before we close out. I'm not going to review it because I just had another page or so. Now, this can be found also in Romans 8, verse 10, where the Apostle Paul said, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of right wiseness." Remember, right wiseness is the right understanding. "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwells in you." Now, your mortal body is not the one that goes in the grave and comes back up. Your mortal body is the one that is alive. One that's in the grave is a corpse. All right. So his Spirit is in you, quickening. Now, remember, the seed, you're just a husk. Let's face it. The body is just a husk. But there's a seed germ inside. And so if his Spirit is in you, quickening that to life, it will actually then, going back to what Brother Branham said here, my action and the vindication of God's Word in my life shows whether I'm a child of God or not. By their fruits you shall know them. By entering the ark, showed they were the ark, they were for the season of the ark. By crossing the Jordan and the waters parting, they showed they were the children that were to enter in. By crossing the Red Sea, they showed they were the children that were leaving Egypt, okay? Leaving Egypt, but not all of them entered in. They were in the season of the Exodus first half, but they weren't in the season of the Exodus second half. You understand? So by our actions, and the vindication of God's Word in our life, shows whether we're a child of God or not. By our fruits, you'll know them. All right? So in Romans 8, we're reading, "But if the Spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwells in you." In other words, if God is working in you to will, then God will work in you to do. All right. "Therefore, the gene seed of God must come to fruition, and God's word will not be sown and then come up empty in his predestinated gene seed, because he is here to bring all of his word to pass." We read in Philippians 1 and 6, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which began the good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." And so how does he perform it? Well, Brother Branham says from unrecognized presence. He tells us God's presence is here. He tells us why his presence is here. He says, working for this one purpose, for you to recognize the presence of Jesus Christ. See, if he is present, then everything is settled. He made the word. He's here to confirm it. And then he said, if we could realize that he's appearing to us in these meetings for one purpose, and that's to release our desires that we have in him, remember he's the word, back to us. But we've got to recognize his presence. All right? Now, we go to verse 11 of Romans 8. "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." And the word quicken means to make alive, to bring into manifestation. Manifestation of what? To the life in the seed, the nature in the seed, to bring it into its fullness, to bring it into a manifestation. Then Paul adds in Romans 8, let's skip up to verse 16, he says, "The Spirit," and there's only one the Spirit, and that's God's Spirit. So he's saying, God's Spirit itself will bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So, how does God's Spirit bear witness with our spirit that we are his children? Because our actions bear the nature of his very own spirit and life, which manifests his nature. And that's exactly what William Branham said when he said, "My action and the vindication of God's word in my life, it shows whether I'm a child of God or not." Not my inaction. Not my inaction. You can just hang your hat on passive faith, passive faith, passive faith, and your inaction proves nothing. It doesn't. But when you respond to that passive faith with an action, that proves whether you've recognized and then acted upon the word. Remember, hearing is one season. Recognizing is another thing altogether. And then acting upon shows that you've recognized. All right? Brother Brown preached a sermon, hearing, recognizing, and acting upon the word of God. Therefore, as Paul said, if we are children of God, then God's Spirit, God's life, and God's own nature will bear witness with our spirit and our life and our nature that we are his children. Because after all, he promised in Philippians 2:13, "For it is God working in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure." So, look, if the will is not there, then God's not in you working. I'm sorry. Well, it's Sunday morning, it's hard to get out of bed, you know, I don't know if I want to go or not. God's not working in you. Sorry. what Brother Brown said. You got the Holy Ghost. So, you know, when that door is open, you can't hardly wait to be there. That is why Brother Brown said, my action in the vindication of God's word in my life shows whether I'm a child of God or not. He went on to show you that there are two reigns or doctrines in the end. There's two reigns of doctrine in the end time. The former reign, which is a teaching reign, and the latter reign, which is the harvest or the manifestation reign. It is not a different reign or doctrine, but it is a doctrine that is taught in the first reign that comes to manifest in the harvest reign. The same reign, okay, the same elements, the same H2O that comes in April and May comes in June and July. It's not a different substance. It's not a different rain coming down. It's not like God says, okay, now we're going to give them this fertilizer in the rain in April and May. Now we're going to give them this fertilizer in the rain. No, it's the same doctrine. The same doctrine that births the seed is the same doctrine that takes it all the way in. All right? Only there's two different moves of the Spirit doing it. One is to bring you up to grow you up, and the other is to bring you to full maturity. Okay? So rain is rain. H2O is H2O. It's not different in the springtime when the plants are sown in the ground, but the rain is necessary to grow the crop and bring it to life. But the rain is for the purpose of producing a harvest, because it is the last rain, the last doctrine that brings the plant to full maturity and ready for harvest. In the natural, it is the same H2O, just as in the spiritual, it is the same doctrine of Father and Son. It is known in this hour as the doctrine of Christ, just as it was known in the Alpha, so is it known in the Omega. Just as it was with the fathers, it's supposed to turn the hearts of the children back to the hearts of the fathers. In Deuteronomy 32, 1-5, we read, "Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as a small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish," in other words, "I will manifest and proclaim the name of the Lord." So notice, he says, my doctrine, God's doctrine. Jesus said, I didn't come here to say anything but what the Father told me to say. He said, my doctrine is not mine, John 7:16. My doctrine is not mine, but his has sent me. So my doctrine shall drop as the rain. In other words, the early rain, the former rain, the teaching rain is a doctrine of God. But so is the latter rain. Because rain is rain. Doctrine is doctrine. And notice that there is a time and a season for the doctrine that God's rain, as we see in Deuteronomy 11:14, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. So the very purpose of the rain is to harvest. All right? Now, from a resume of the church ages, the church age book, Brother Branham says this age started just as after the turn of the 20th century, as it was to be the age in which the true church would return to being the bride she was at Pentecost. We know that there must be, of necessity, be a return of dynamic power. The believers sensed this in their spirit and began crying to God for a new outpouring such as was in the first century. What seemed to be the answer came as many began to speak in tongues and manifest gifts of the Spirit. It was then believed that this was indeed the long-awaited restoration. It was not. Why? Because it was without the Word. You can't have restoration outside of the Word. It was not, for the latter rain can come only after the former rain, which is the spring or teaching rain. The latter rain then is the harvest rain. Next will come the harvest rain or the rapturing faith. So we're looking at a rain, the doctrine, the same H2O that falls in the spring, falls in the harvest time, the same doctrine of Christ that brought you into Christ. By one baptized, you're all, one spirit, you're all baptized in that one body. Remember, my words are spirit. It's the same one that takes you on to full maturity. However, there's a move of the Spirit. There's another thundercloud coming through, so to speak. There's another wave after wave, okay? So we see this latter rain is to produce a rapturing faith. Now, from the spoken word is the original seed. Brother Branson, now watch. Now, remember the word mora, M-O-U-R-E-H, mora, means teaching, the former rain. It says the mora rain, the teaching rain. Teaching rain went forth. Billy Graham has struck the world, Pentecost struck the world, and the word has struck the world. Now, what's the matter now? She's waiting for the latter rain. That's when she produces her fruits. Oh, I hope you get it. Well, what's the Billy Graham teaching going to produce? More Baptists, 140, 40, what was it, a million more than 44, something like that? All right? In other words, that whatever doctrine you're sitting under will produce that. Brother Bell told me as a young minister many, many years ago, 30, 40 years ago, he said, Brian, he said, if the people need to be born again, preach the new birth. If people need to be saved, preach salvation. You get what you preach for. You see? From the spoken words, and he told me 3 weeks before he died, he said, we've had the doctrine. We understand the doctrine, but if the people don't have the life, they'll never make it. And they're not going to make it unless they have the life. So preach the life. And that's what we've been doing. Now, from the spoken words, original seed, Brother Man says, someone asked me to repeat that Hebrew word again in Joel 2:28, where he's speaking of the coming of the former and latter rain. The word former in Hebrew is mora, which means teaching. In other words, it'll be a teaching rain and a harvest rain. Now, we've had the teaching rain, and we're ready now for the harvest rain. You know, the first rain is when you plant the seed. That starts your crop. Then just before it matures, there comes another crop. That's what they call the harvest rain. And we know when it is a spring rain, and then the rain's about June, it makes your crop. All right? And from Jehovah Jireh, he says, we've had a revival. Joel said, we fuss so much about latter rain. Had movements called latter rain, former rain, inner rain, outer rain. I was reading the other day, do you know what the former rain means in the Hebrew word? I can't call it right now, but I never wrote it down. It skipped my mind. But former rain, the first rain, it means a rain of teaching. The second rain is a spirit that comes upon what's been taught and produces the crop. Now, brothers and sisters, that is where we're at now. That's where we're at now. We've had teaching. Brother Brand came forth teaching. Brother Bell came forth teaching. Now, if it really settled in a fertilized soil, what's happening now, the teaching is going forth now, the rain is going forth now, is actually producing what they taught. Sons of God. As Brother Bell told me a few weeks before he died, he said, Brian, we've taught the doctrine, the people know the doctrine. But if they don't have the life, they'll never make it. We must teach the life. And the latter rain is what makes the former rain come alive in the people. If you have the doctrine of the teaching rain only in your mind, you never turn the corner into maturity, you still die in your sins. But if you become, and listen, you're still a son, but there's no inheritance. You've got to be the right kind of son. But if you become the revelation, then you will walk into immortality. And that is what the latter rain is producing in this late hour. Brother Brown came with a doctrine, but the people were so stupefied by the supernatural that they saw, they did not understand what he taught. Then God sent a teacher, Brother Bell, to break it down into doctrinal understanding, and he broke out the principles of the doctrine for our understanding. But there has to be a rain come, a further instructional rain, that will bring the bride into maturity, and that is where we are right now. The rain of God, his word, coming forth as the rain, the early rain as we already witnessed, and the latter rain which we are currently witnessing. And that teaching is producing sons and daughters of God, as God meant for it to do, getting us ready for the harvest. From things that are to be, Brother Branham tells us, now we know that this is the day of salvation where God is calling man from the world, from a life of sin unto a life of service. And in the day that God has poured out his Spirit from on high, great signs and wonders are to accompany the ministry of this day. This is when the former and latter rains are falling together. And we know that there are supposed to be great signs and wonders, which in many great denominations this is turned down. But I'm very thankful for these open doors that I've had to go into and the inspiration it gives to young men like your pastor here that cause them. And as I'm beginning to get old and know that my days are numbered and know now that these young men can take this message and sweep it on to the coming of the Lord. If he doesn't come in my generation, which I'm hoping to see him, I look daily for him and watch and keep myself preparing for that hour. So we see that both the former rain, the teaching rain, and the latter rain had already begun. However, the former rain speaks of a teaching rain, and you must have the teaching rain before you can have the harvest rain. But it's still the same rain. Still the same H2O, still the same doctrine. But it's just that in nature, you get the spring rain, and then later in June or July, you get the latter rains to fully mature that crop. So, from seed shall be heir with the shuck, Brother Bram tells us. Now, Now then, what troubles me at this hour is knowing that we see all of these denominations pulling into this, what you call the latter rain, or the pouring out of the Spirit. Do you realize that Jesus said that when that comes to pass, it would be in the end? When the foolish virgin and the wise virgin was not heirs together. For when the foolish virgin, she was a virgin, just lacking oil. But when she come to buy oil, it was at the time that the bridegroom came. And she was left out while she was trying to buy the oil. You understand? I want that to soak in real good. Now, surely I won't have to move that subject any further. Now, neither can the spiritual and the natural be heirs together. Now, remember, both the wise virgin and the foolish virgin, the wise that had the Holy Ghost and the foolish that did not have the Holy Ghost, they both heard the midnight cry, which is the shout, the message. Come out to meet him. Many came out as Israel came out of Egypt. Many came out of their denominations. They heard the midnight cry. They heard the voice of the prophet. What happened? He said, come out to meet him. They came out to buy the oil because they didn't have oil. So they went out, got excited by the message, and they went to those that sell it. And they're missing the very presence of the bridegroom. A season within a season. And Exodus is a coming out and an entering in. The foolish virgin and the wise virgin came out, but only the wise virgin entered in. From sea shall not be heir with a shuck. Well, notice he tells us the foolish virgin comes out when he is already here. That's parousia. But she is unaware that he's already here, so she goes in numbers to them that are selling. Who could that be? But while she has gone in numbers to them that are selling, the bride had that oil and was aware whose presence they had gone out to see and are taken to the wedding supper. You see, it's in his presence. They come out to his presence, but they don't know it's his presence. They just come out because of a shout, a message. But they're in together. They're in the same group, wise and foolish. They're coming out. And the wise recognize he's here. Come out to meet him. And the foolish virgin says, but I don't got the light on what's going on. I don't have an understanding of what's going on. So I'm going to go to them that are selling, and the separation is made, and the wise virgin, she goes in with him, who's here. I see it so plain, it's like my hand in front of my face. I hope you do too. From sea shall not be heir with a shuck, he says, and then noticing, this morning, Brother Jewel Rose, a very precious friend of mine, and brother to all of us, how that he got up and read that psalm. Look how that dovetailed in. Like he said, I want to see what kind of a seed that's hanging on you. Last night the Spirit spoke and said, and about the latter rain and the former rain, both being poured out in the last days. And this morning, the seed that's hanging on you. See? The Spirit speaking. Watch how it did through these ministers and so forth this morning. So therefore, I'm taking the subject, the seed shall not be heir with the shuck. That's a very strange text, but the seed shall not be heir with the shuck. Now remember, the shuck is a foolish virgin. And from drawing my conclusion of this, or my text rather, from Galatians 4, 27 and 3, Paul here, of course, is speaking of the literal seed of Abraham having two sons. All right, then from end time seed, he says, now we said in the last days, Joel told us, the other part of the scripture, listen close now, that there would be a former and a latter rain in the same season. How many Christians know that? Say amen. Sure. What? Now, the other day, to my surprise, when I looked, former and latter rain would come in the same season. Now, the word former, what's that season? It's the parousia. It's the shout. The season of the shout. Now, the word former, in the Hebrew word, get your Hebrew lexicon out and find out. The word former means mora. Mora means teaching. There will come a teaching rain. What is it? Putting the seeds into the earth. What's that? What's going on? Well, we find out that there's been a teaching rain going on. The Baptist people, a million more in 44, was their goal. Members of the church. Billy Graham, great revivals, our great evangelist,
Look what he done. Look at Oral Roberts and the Pentecostals. There's been a teaching rain gone forth. There's been a national teaching rain. Communism sowed among the people, every nation. There's been a Roman revival. Do you know what happens? If they give the western part or the eastern part of the Berlin back, that puts communism just, or I mean, that puts the Roman Empire just exactly in the old circle it was in the time of Jesus. Certainly it does, perfectly. There's a revival going on. What is it? A sowing. You don't hear very much about Billy Graham no more, do you? What about Oral Roberts? What about the rest of them? You know, the great revival fire is not burning. Well, what is it? It's the end time seed sign. The words have been sown. What is it? Denomination will reap denomination. That makes them confederate themselves together. But the Word of God has been sowed also. And when the Spirit of God begins to fall, the Word of God will live in the people. And that false bride that's committed adultery out there and brought herself into creeds and sold out her birthright will reap what? A confederation of church. That's to be bound and burned like the thorns and thistles. But where the Word of God's been sowed into the people's heart, it will reap a bride for Christ as certain as I'm standing here. From the end time, it's end time signs. What's the matter, Church of God? What's the matter with us? What's the matter with the Baptists, you Baptists, you Presbyterians, the Sons of God, Jesus only, all the rest of you? What's the matter with us? Can't you see the seed? Don't you be careful what kind of seed that you're talking in your womb, or you're taking in your womb of your heart. Don't you take creeds? Take the Word. They've been talking so much about the latter rain, not discarding you latter rain brethren, but that's not latter rain. If the latter rain would have been here, the power of God would have struck that thing, and she'd have swept the world. The latter rain's fixing to come. So this was preached in ...1962. The latter rain had not come yet. All right? The latter rain is fixing to come. What's the matter? The church is manufacturing herself something just like Eve tried to do. She tried to have more light to manufacture something. We've done the same thing, trying to make something in ourselves. Keep your hand off of it. Let God do it. Remember, it's God working in you to will and do. Take His Word and believe it. Hold it in your heart, and when the rain begins to fall, life will take hold and the Word will manifest itself. Now in Romans 8, verse 1, we read, "But if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall," that should be actually verse 11, "shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you." Ephesians 2, 1 and 5, we read, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespass and sin." And verse 5, "Even when you were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace are you saved." All right, so it's God that quickens. His Spirit is here quickening. 1 Corinthians 15:45, "And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit." John 5:21, "For as the Father raised up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." John 6:6, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." 1 Timothy 6:13, "I give thee charge in the sight of God who quickens all things, and before Jesus Christ, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession." And Colossians 2:13, "And you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespass." Now, that brings us to number 3. All right? When this seed manifests who it is, this manifestation of the seed vindicates that this seed was indeed for this season. Psalm 1:1-6 tells us, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the seat of in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord." The word law is the Torah of the Lord, and that means the Father's teaching. So his delight is in the Father's teaching, and in his law, in his Torah, in his Father's teaching, doth he meditate day and night. Now, in your prayer time, in your time of study, are you studying the historical things of the Scripture, or are you studying, "God, what is it for this hour that you're bringing me to and through?" You see? That's the Torah, the Father's instructions. What is your instructions today, Father, for us? In 1950s and 60s, our instruction was, "Behold, I'll send you Elijah the prophet." That was the instruction for that day. Get under that man's teaching. The rain is falling. The teaching rain is falling. Get under that.
And we've been under that. And we've sat under that now for 40 years, 50 years. And now there's a move of the Holy Spirit, the same Word. And the Word is teaching us how to come into that place of sons, the placing of sons. How do we get ready for the adoption of sons? How is it that we are manifesting as sons? How is it that we're being conformed to the image of the firstborn son? The Father's instructions to His children. The first rain, the latter rain. And what was the Father's teaching? And of course, teaching is doctrine. And that is one definition of the word doctrine. And what will the Father's doctrine, His teaching, His reign, produce? Remember the doctrine first, that is the teaching reign. And then the harvest reign, the fruit comes to maturity. And so David says, and he shall be like a tree, planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Well, what produces the rivers? The rain. And then, laying in that presence of that rain, that rain that's now a river, it brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. The Lord yada, the way of the righteous. Which means the Lord watches over it with an active participation, the way of the righteous. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. The word perish is abad, which means they're just left to themselves to figure things out. And there's a way which seems right to a man, but the way thereof is a way of death. He's not going to make it. You are not going to make it if God is not working in you to will and then to do. You can will on your own and you're going to will go down the wrong path. I'm sorry. Now we know that Moses and Noah and Paul and William Branham all lived during an exodus. And we find in Matthew 13, 10 to 17, a parable we must understand if we are to understand the things of God are only for certain chosen and elect ones. And the disciples came and said unto him, why do you speak unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it is not given. Now in Mark 4, verse 11 to 12, we hear the same parable, but it is written as thusly. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them that are without. All these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. For whosoever echoes what I have given them, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever echoes not, from him shall be taken away even that which he thinks he is echoing. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they do see, and your ears, for they do hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men, rightly wise men, have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. As I mentioned last week or the week before, we are in the season for the adoption. Paul's generation looked for that season. They longed for that season. Martin and Columba and Martin Luther, they all wanted that for themselves, but it wasn't the parousia of Christ time. It wasn't to come until this time. In Ephesians 1:3-17, that brings us to point number four. This manifestation of the seed life is being quickened by the word for the season is the evidence that the seed is God's seed and it's for the season. Ephesians 1:3-17, this speaks of the predestinated plan of God and His purpose behind it. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if He's a God and Father, then He's a God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ as a God, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him or in His presence. Then in love, having predestinated us, predetermined us,
unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are in earth, in him, in which also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory, his doxa, his opinions, his values, his judgment. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, so the Lord Jesus Christ has a God, who is the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Notice, Paul had seen the people, had come to the place where he said, I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, so they had revelation, and your love unto all the saints, so they had actually begun to live that revelation. They actually were sons of God, realizing they're sons of God. And, you know, love is an expression of a revelation. It's an outward expression. You know, you have faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Why? Because faith is a revelation. Hope is an earnest expectation. Something you're earnestly expecting the revelation to produce. And love, then, is a projecting of that revelation. You become your revelation. And so Paul says, I've seen that you got the faith, you got the revelation, and now you're come to that place. We were actually living it out. And so I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Because I know the next thing is that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, is going to give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. But it didn't happen in that hour. Because Alpha has to repeat in Omega. It had to come in this hour. Now before we go on to verse 18 and find out why he does all of this, let me just read a few things first. Because Brother Bram told us when this would take place. He tells in 70 weeks of Daniel, it's laying back in that condition. And that only shows that this is just a period of time. Can't you see? God don't have things out of cater. He's just letting it run like that for a little time. And I truly believe that thing was done. And at this last days is when God is going to reveal these secrets to the church. He hasn't done it before. And the reason he hasn't done it is to keep the church awaiting, watching and praying all the time, not knowing when it was coming. But you remember Daniel 12, he said, the wise shall understand in the last days. It's been given to them. Here it is. The spirit of wisdom comes into the church to make known to the church by the revelation of the Holy Ghost, bringing the church in and revealing what day that we're living in. Just as Gabriel came to Daniel, that's one angel to one prophet, so too the Holy Spirit comes to the church in the last days to reveal these great, deep, secret things. Do you understand? So Brother Branham is actually quoting Paul about the spirit of wisdom and revelation, verse 18, coming into the church, and then he tells us what it is. It's an angel to a prophet. All right? It's a teaching rain. So here we are, brethren, that one angel has already come that we might understand what the inheritance is all about, which we see Paul tell us in verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, why he has called you to this great understanding, and what the riches of the glory, the opinions, values, and judgment of his inheritance in the saints. So it is all about growing up into him in all things to become conformed to the image of the firstborn son, that we might become joint heirs with him. The teaching rain births us and raises us up to know our place in the family, and the latter rain is here to perform that which he has promised in the teaching rain. For it is God working in you to will. That is the first thing. He is working in you. That comes during the teaching rain. He is here teaching us his will, so that we will understand his will and receive his will, and then act upon his will, which is the latter part. First to enter into his will, and then the latter rain is God working in you to do. which comes under the latter rain of his parousia presence. Same presence, same rain, same doctrine. But the emphasis is the former rain was to instruct you into his will. Remember, his will is his word. And in the latter rain is to instruct you how to do or perform his will, his word. It is God who is in you teaching you to will, and that's the teaching rain. And it is the same God who is in you, working in you to do, which is the harvest rain, which is the coming into the full and complete image of the firstborn son. Hallelujah. That's what presence is all about. God working in you. First, teaching rain. Secondly, to do what was taught. 1 John 3:1-3, Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called, there's your calling, the sons of God. That's the same calling that Paul spoke of in Ephesians 1:18. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we sons of God, and it doth not yet appear, Phanerou, to manifest in one true character, what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, when he shall, Phanerou, when he shall manifest in his true character, then we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. And how do you purify yourself? By the washing of water, by the word. In Psalm 119:9, David says, how does a young man cleanse himself? By taking heed to thy word. Again, we see in Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, he is our life. Remember, I am crucified with Christ. I'm dead, yet I'm living. It is not me that's living, it's Christ living in me. So when Christ, who is our life, shall Phanerou, shall manifest in his true character, then shall you also Phanerou, then shall you also manifest in your true character with him in glory, in the same doxa. You have the same opinions. You change from glory to glory, from image to image. You change from your doxa to his doxa, your opinions to his opinions, your values to his values, your judgments to his judgments, to his image. In 1 John 4:17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now the word as means in the same manner, and the word so means in the same manner. In the same manner as he is, in the same manner are we in this world, because we're a reflection, we're conformed to his image. Now in closing, I want to compare the contrast and contrast between Matthew 24:42-51, which we know speaks of this hour, for all the New Testament speaks of this hour as our prophet taught us. And I want to compare that also with what God said to the people through Jeremiah, his prophet, in Jeremiah 5:23-31. Matthew 24:42. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Now every single one of you men in here are the Lord of your house. And you should be providing both physical and spiritual food in due season to your family. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all of his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink, and with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Remember, Egypt, the people were in Egypt, a type of the worldly church, and the pillar of fire, through a prophet, led them out, and they were instructed for 40 years what to do once they entered. During that time, many people followed the prophet, were baptized into the same clouds, you know, baptized just like today, baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, all those things, and they perished. And yet, it was the season of the Exodus. But in the season of the Exodus, there's a season within a season. There's an exiting, and there's an entering. And only certain elect, which were the children of them, they entered in. Here he says the same thing. Why? Because they weren't aware of who was leading. They saw the pillar of fire. They had to know the supernatural. They had to know it was God, and yet they weren't aware of His presence. The Bible says they saw the acts of God, but Moses understood the ways of God. Now, Jeremiah 5, 23-31. But this people hath a revolting and rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter rain, in His season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. In other words, former rain, get our eyes on the former rain. And Brother Ram said they miss God by either looking back or looking forward, and they fail to recognize, what is He doing right now? It's latter rain, brother, sister. It's harvest rain. Either you're harvesting, either your fruits are in season or they're not in season. Let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and latter rain, in the season. He reserves unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. Yeah, your sins, your unbelief has withholden good things from you. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait, as he that setteth snares. They set a trap, they catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they are become great and waxen rich, like Laodicea, rich, miserable, but, you know, don't even know it. They are waxing fat, they shine, yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper, and the right of the needy do they not judge. Shall I not visit you for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. And what will be the end? What will you do in the end? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we see, Lord, that we are in the season of the parousia. We are knowing that in that season there's three seasons. There's a shout, a voice, a trump. We are in the season of the Exodus, and yet within the season of the Exodus there's two seasons. There's an exit and there's an entering in. There's a former rain, which is a teaching rain, and then there's a latter rain. What season are we in, Father? I mean, what season do we perceive around us? What is our expectation? Are we still so focused on the teaching rain that we're failing to recognize the latter rain? Are we so focused on the passive faith that we fail to recognize there is an active faith? Are we so focused on hearing that we're not focused on recognizing and then acting upon the Word of God? What season are the people in? Because the vindication of your Word will be the fruits in due season. Are our fruits conforming to the image of the firstborn Son? Are our fruits manifesting as sons? Are our fruits waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body? Are we still focused back on what you did in the former reign? Help us to know the difference, Father, and enter in properly into the season within the season. Because we know shortly that season shall quickly turn to the voice of resurrection. And if we're not in that season, within the season, we will be left behind. As your prophet said, the rapture will be such a natural thing that if you are not aware, you will miss it. And so we commit ourselves to being aware. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, the Lord bless you and keep you. And may the Lord make His face to shine upon you.
The Lord bless thee and